Hey there, welcome to the Dressage with Amelia podcast, where it's all about breaking things down and helping you learn to love your ride. I'm your host, Amelia Newcomb. These sessions are recordings from my Facebook Live, where I answer as many questions as I can from my audience. I hope you enjoy this episode where I answer your questions about dressage. Please help me out and share this with a friend who also rides horses. Are we live? Action.
Are we there?
We're live. 5 seconds.
Hello.
Hello. Tonight we are talking about contact and connection. We have some great questions to answer. And also, before we get started, there is a free download for you, either above or below, or if you're listening to the podcast, 5 exercises to do before sitting the trot. Because sitting trot challenge is starting May 1st, and it's important that you get ready. What do you need to do before you sit the trot?
I'm dying to find out. What does one do before you sit the trot?
Well, there's certain prerequisites that you need to accomplish before you try sitting the trot. Like, for one, getting your horse forward.
I was just punished as a
child. Getting your horse round.
They took the stirrups away. They took the reins away. And they just lunged me around.
Well, that's probably why you have a really good seat.
So I didn't know about any prerequisites. They just, by they, I mean trip harding. It just got lunged and lunged and lunged.
Okay. Well, how about this? Inside the PDF and also inside the sitting trot challenge, we're going to teach you a nicer way to sit the trot. And avoid
an easier, softer
some
way
of the pain and suffering that Herman had to go through to learn how to sit the trot.
We want the pain and the suffering.
Yeah, but here's the thing. I feel like if you learn the correct way to do sitting trot, it doesn't need to be that hard and painful. And I also feel like if your horse is really round and in balance,
it's easier to sit, right? If their heads are up and then you got to sit in a manhole, you know, that's not so easy.
Yeah.
Hollow backs are not where you want to sit. You can't sit on that. That's right. Just painful for everybody.
Basically, if your horse's trot is super, super bouncy and jarring, it's because they're not using their top line and they're not round and they're not using their body correctly. So if you can help your horse to use their body correctly, the sitting trot becomes easier.
This is true.
Yes. So, okay. Today's topic, contact and connection. The reason that this is the topic relates to this week's YouTube video. This week's YouTube video was about bridging the reins. And we were at the Ingrid Klemke Clinic in December. She had a lot of riders bridge their reins. So tell us.
Well, I had Albert have me cross the reins.
That's even harder.
That was a trip.
So what's the point of bridging your reins or crossing the reins?
It stabilizes your hands and it gives you a different sensation.
Yeah. So bridging the reins is basically where you make a loop in your reins and then you hold both the reins in your hands. Like, so you hold the left and the right rein in your right hand and both the reins in your left hand. And it helps that you can't do crazy things with
right.
your hands.
Your hands just can't go off and do some weird thing. Because as most of you have discovered, your offhand really does its own thing, doesn't it?
Yes. Donna said she tried it today. Let us know how it went, Donna. Another thing which is harder, so I would recommend try bridging your reins first. Crossing your reins is like a total brain trip. Like, it's really hard to ride.
Where you put your left rein in your right hand and your right rein in your left hand and go turn.
And to clarify, you cross the reins over the withers, not under your horse's chin.
Yes.
You know, sometimes when you put the bridle on and you're like, oh, my reins are backwards.
Don't do that.
The other thing I've tried lately with a horse that's strong on one rein is flipping the rein around and using a driving rein. So, for example,
if I get to the reins?
There's reins.
We have a visual aid.
Yes.
We've done this before.
We have a set of reins in my office for visual
for this aids.
Okay, so normally you hold your reins like this, right? So this part is going to the horse. My other hand is the horse. This is the correct way to hold your reins. You want to make a little rooftop shape. so you can supple. But sometimes another trick to try, if you have a horse that's really strong on one rein, is flip it around and hold it like this. So the
top of it goes to the mouth instead of through your ring finger.
Yeah. And it really makes it so that you and your horse can't pull against each other. And here's the thing. I'm not a fan of like gimmicks, but sometimes...
And or gadgets.
Yes. No gimmicks or gadgets. But sometimes trying something different where it like changes the sensations or it changes your brain pattern, that can be really helpful because we get in habits.
And feel is what we're trying to... We're trying to enhance the way we feel, you feel, how you learn feel, because it's all about the feel. And just because it's comfortable and you're familiar with it, the feeling, just because it's comfortable and familiar doesn't necessarily make it good. It just makes it familiar. And yeah. So when we get to a point where that familiarity is a negative, you have to change it somehow so you get a different sensation.
Yeah. And when you do the bridging rein things, don't try to ride your whole ride like that. Just do it for like 3 minutes, kind of become aware of like, wow,
I do this thing, whatever this thing is.
Yeah. And then put your reins back to normal and keep that in mind. Another really great thing that you can do to become more aware of the contact is riding without gloves. That's another really good thing because it makes you aware if your horse is pulling a lot or if you're pulling a lot on your horse. And you just have a different sensation when you feel the reins actually in your hands. So that's another good one to try. All right. Tonight, we are going to start out with, I hope I can find it. Okay. Yes. Words of wisdom from Christine Traurig. Who is Christine Traurig?
Now she is the young rider coach.
She's the chef to keep. She's everything.
Right. She's the young rider coach, the developing coach, and the chef to keep, right?
I don't know if she does young riders, but anyways, Christine is an amazing trainer. She went to the Olympics.
She was the anchor ride in Sydney that got us the medal.
Yeah. And we've had the wonderful opportunity to ride a lot with her. She doesn't come up here so much, but she used to come up here like
four or five times a year.
Yeah. And so we rode a lot with her in Hidden Valley, which was fun. But here is a great quote from Christine Traurig. And when she teaches, she uses like very eloquent terminology and she brings in a lot of theory to her lessons, which is something that I really love about riding with Christine. Here's her quote. The lightness of the contact is directly related to the balance and relative engagement of the hind legs.
Yes.
Should I read it again? The lightness of the contact is directly related to the balance and relative engagement of the hind legs. Do you want to explain what that means?
So the relative engagement, because it'll depend on, you know, a Grand Prix horse, third level, fourth level. So you can't expect the same lightness from a third level horse as you're going to get from a Grand Prix horse, right? That engagement is relative to where the training is in the horse. And the reason it's light is because the horse, we narrow its base of support and it's over its four legs. So it's not laying in your hands. It's called self-carriage. The horse is carrying itself and you're along for the ride. You guide it, but it's doing the carrying.
Yeah. So if you have a horse who's heavy or pulling in your hands, what's really important to remember is that the reason your horse is heavy is because they're not using their hind end. And a lot of times we just want to pull more. If our horse is pulling, we're like, well, I'm just going to pull until they give. But that doesn't solve the root of the problem. So the root of the problem is that the horse isn't engaged. The horse isn't using their hind end. So that's where you need to consider if your horse is strong. So what are some exercises we can do to develop more engagement in the hind end?
Transitions in and out of the gate and transitions within the gate.
Yes.
10 meter circles. Well, 12 meter smaller circles. Let's not say, oh my God, it's got to be 10, because you know, your first level horse, if you did a 12 meter circle, it would help. Yeah. And you do a 10 meter circle and it may have to spin the haunches out. So,
or a little bit of shoulder four, a little leg yield that will help to engage the horse's inside hind leg. The other thing that I always think about if I have a horse who's strong is I think about using more seat and leg and less hand, because when your horse is strong, they're on the forehand. And so you've got to really sit in and wrap your legs around and try to sit heavier in your seat. Think about making your seat heavier and your hands softer, because if your horse gets strong in the contact, the more you pull, the more they just lean into it and pull against you. So more seat, less hand will also help with that.
Absolutely. You know how they make the horses go at the racetrack, right?
Pull.
They pull.
Yeah.
Because the horse lean. And it's the same principle as judo for all of our martial arts practitioners out there. It's the same principle as judo. Because if you push, they push back. If you pull, they pull. Yes.
All right. So, question, if you're watching live, let me know in the chat if your horse is too strong or if your horse is too light, because we don't want either one of those extremes. And I know there are a lot of questions also of people whose horses got too light or who ducked behind the vertical. So why is it bad if your horse is too light?
They're not on the bit. There's no contact.
And what's the problem if you don't have contact?
It's drive your car without a steering wheel.
Right. If you can't touch the bit, then you also can't really get control of the hind end. So there's like a happy medium of too strong versus too light, like Goldilocks, right?
Yep.
So how much?
And I never really realized what the Goldilocks story was until about 5 years ago. Right. This one's too hard. This one's too soft. This one's just right. But you have to experience too hard. You have to experience too soft to get to what's just right. And so the whole point of that Goldilocks story is to try.
Yes.
Try everything once, the fun stuff twice.
Okay, so let's see. Hi, Hannah says her horse is too strong. Hi, Jenny, her horse is too strong. Holly's horse is too strong. Stacy's horse is too strong. All right, Julie's horse is too light. Okay, we're going to talk next about horses that are too light, because you have to have a different approach with horses that are too strong versus horses that are too light. So if your horse is too light, how do we get them to take the bit?
Go forward. Because it is.
And keep your hands steady.
Right. You have to have a steady, offer them something to go into.
Yeah.
Right. You know, in that situation, you want them to lean into you a little bit there, because then they get the horse the confidence in your contact.
Right. So if your horse is strong, what I usually think of doing is like inside rein, vibrate, soften, sit in. Horse that is too light, I think of hands really steady.
And receiving it.
And kind of, even if they like curl or fuss, always trying to keep a steady contact so they can't get out of it. Because what happens is if your horse curls and the reins go light, then they get a release for curling. So you don't want that.
Right. And my horses, when they try to hide behind that, you just gently lift them up, send them on so that you place their nose where you want that to be. And then they understand, oh, this is where I'm supposed to be.
And transitions and lateral work also really help with horses that are too light. Because again, it's about getting that engagement of the back, the hind leg, to the bridle. And so in order to do, a lot of times if your horse is curling and you do a walk trot transition or a trot canter transition, they'll take the bit a little bit during the moment of the transition because they have to push with their hind legs at that moment.
Yeah, and the leg yields work is when we start talking about access through the rib cage, connecting your horse diagonally through, starting to make whatever hind leg go into the opposite hand.
And so that brings up another important point. What is the difference between contact versus connection?
Contact, you can just take up, get the slack out of the reins, and you have a contact.
Contact is from your elbow to the horse's mouth. That's basically it.
Take up the slack, and now you have a contact. If you have reins that are droopy, you have no contact. Now, when we start talking about connection, now the horse is through back to front and you feel those hind legs in your hands. And it isn't, and then back to what you mentioned, Christina's quote, it's relative to where your horse is in the training. It's not that contact is better than connection, but
You have to have contact,
right,
in order to
get to connection.
To connection. And it also is something that develops over time, the contact and the connection. It's something that we want to see improve through years and years and years of training. And that just takes time and repetition. Like my horse, Kensington, ever since he was five, he's always liked to be a little stronger and heavier on the right rein. And over the years, it's gotten better, but it's still there.
That's his default. It's like, I'm always going to be right-handed. You're always going to be left-handed. Right. It's the way we came.
And the other thing is to consider that what you feel in your hands is a reflection of what's happening in their body. With Kensington, for example, he has a weak right hind leg and he always likes to lean and push his whole body to the right. And so that's why I feel it in the right rein, but I have to fix it from my right leg, moving him into the left rein. I can't just fix it by pulling on the right rein because then I'm just addressing the symptom and I'm not dealing with the root cause.
Absolutely.
Okay, we're going to start with questions. Let us know if you're here live, if you have a specific question. Christina says, what can I do to help a horse who's fussy in the contact and tends to want to duck behind the vertical?
So back, the first thing is make sure he's trotting boldly forward, okay? Because if they're curling behind, and they're slow and the tempo's not up to par, you're going to have some real issues. So the first thing is he trotting with energy? Then what I do is I make like an L with my hands. I lift them up, get that neck up, and then push a little forward with my hands. Like think if the reins were like poles or sticks and you're pushing the horse's nose out. So I lift them up a little and then I try and push the nose out as I add a little bit of leg. Do that on a curve line, do that through leg yields.
And the other thing I do with a horse that's fussy is I keep them on bending and turning lines so that you can work on inside leg to outside rein connection. And that will help to stabilize them and to not let them fuss around. And you have to really focus if your horse is fussy on your position, your core, your upper body back, your hands quiet so that when your horse fusses, you're just like, solid.
You're in the right way.
If you start getting thrown around with your horse, then they're going to fuss even more. So
right. If you're moving around like a tree in a hurricane, the horse's head's going to do the same.
You have such a nice way of saying things. Okay. Next question is from Patty. I have a 15-year-old that starts out very light in the contact and higher in the neck. It's a Friesian. I have to do lots of transitions to get his hind legs going so he reaches his neck out. But then after the canter work, he gets very heavy in the reins and his trot gets very powerful and chargy, requiring me to use a lot of rein to slow him down. Interesting. So starts out light, after the canter gets heavy. I think that it's normal for the contact to change a little bit based on the gait. Back to Kensington, for example, he's a lot better balanced in the trot than in the canter. So I can get a nicer contact in the trot than I can at the canter. And that goes back to Christine's quote at the beginning about how contact is related to the balance of your horse. So if your horse isn't very balanced in the canter, which it sounds to me like maybe that's the issue with Patty's horse, it's not very balanced in the canter, so it starts leaning on the reins. So,
right, but reread that because I thought it said that it's after the canter, then it gets heavy in the trot.
Well, yeah, it gets chargy.
Right, but that the issue is that now that it's warmed up and it's starting to use itself and it's getting a little more exuberant, it's running past your ability to make a half halt and rebalance it. So transitions on a circle and you trot and you walk and you trot and you walk. Because the warm-up seems to be going fine and then you get more horse and then the half halts aren't really working. And another way to think about half halts is that they rebalance your horse. And that's what's gone away. Your horse should be on its forelegs and it's running off.
Okay. Next question is from Martina. My horse is strong in the connection and I use a lot of half halts to encourage self-carriage. My new horse is the opposite, very light in the bridle, and I'm having trouble determining if he's truly connected since my brain is trained to my other horse. The new one almost feels behind my leg or slow, but watching the videos looks good. Any suggestions to get more comfortable with polar opposites? That's a good question.
I was reading some other question.
I think that it's really wonderful to get to ride different horses because they're all very different and they require a totally different approach. So it's great if you can get to ride a horse that curls and gets too light and another horse that's strong. And yes, you will have to adapt the way that you ride the horse. And in training, like, we want to get them to the middle, right? Horses that are too light, they have to learn to take more contact. Horses that are too strong, we have to teach them to get a little bit lighter. And
the horses that want to be up, you take them down. The ones that want to be down, you take them up. Right.
And how do you get good at that is
ride.
Ride. Time and miles. The more horses you ride, the better you get. And the hard part about riding is just because you can ride one horse doesn't mean that you can ride any horse. So the more opportunities that you have to ride different horses, the better. And we've talked a little bit about the different techniques that you should use versus in strong horses versus light horses. Is there a question we should answer?
One, which we noticed before, which is why we don't get to write anything down anymore. Alice is trying to figure out why our image gets reversed in the video. And that's Facebook. They turn us around. We're sitting on the other side of each other, by the way, too. We don't know why. And we used to put a dressage arena up and draw on it. And then everything got turned around. It was really confusing. So take it up with Facebook because we have no idea how to correct it. Now, that was for Alice. And Joanne, I ride a horse that is too strong. Oh, no, that's not the one. Where's the... Oh. KCK3163. So if the horse is carrying themselves, then the rein contact should be very light. And I don't know that it's very light. Amelia has the, you should feel like a soda can. That would be ideal. Sometimes it's a little less than that. Sometimes your half halts are going to be a bit more, but a soda can is kind of the feeling. So I don't know that very light is good because Amelia always points out the fact that I like my horses really light and there's no contact. So hypersensitive. You don't want them very light because they're not really connected then.
And the thing with the contact is you should always be able to make it a little stronger or make it a little softer. You should be able to make more contact in the outside rein and give the inside rein. So it's a dynamic thing that you should always be able to change. Because sometimes you might want to have no contact for a stride or two. That's called uber striking, right? When you give your hands forward for a few strides.
And nothing changes.
Other times you might need to take a little contact so you can rock your horse back to the hind end. So it's all about just being able to adjust it. And again, it's not about the contact per se. What's more important is the connection. Like Christine said, is the hind leg engaged? Is the horse lifting in their back? That is all super important. Okay. Stacy has a question. I'm riding a little pony who's easy to sit, except for the fact that she's super heavy in the hands. She likes to root the reins, probably from the kids who she could get away with doing it.
That happens a lot with ponies, I see.
My trainer can get her light. She has me bridging the reins from time to time. She's also stiffer going to the right. I do pole work, bending lines, small circles. I would like to not have to hold my pony together so much. So what can we do to help her get her pony lighter? Okay, so rooting. First of all, what do you do if your horse roots? Because that's kind of a thing.
Okay, so when they root, I really think about opening up my chest, making sure my shoulders are, what do you call it? The nose behind the belly button. So that when the horse roots down, the horse actually pulls me deeper into the tack, right? That my knees go into the thigh block and that the horse doesn't get a benefit from taking me and and folding me over at the waist and making the pressure go away.
Yeah, because if they get the reins out of your hands when they root, then that's why they do it. That's why horses root, is because they've gotten the reins away.
Because there's a benefit to it.
Yes.
So I intend to sit deeper, hold that rein, and try and supple that a little bit. When the horse softens, then I soften. But I don't want to encourage the rooting by getting soft, getting pulled forward, and having the contact go away. So it's about sitting deeper and maybe a little extra back to counter their strength, right? Because it's all about your position. You're not going to be stronger than a horse.
Yeah.
So when the horse goes to root, if it takes you down there deeper, it doesn't get the benefit from rooting, and it discourages it from doing that behavior.
Yeah. And it's always tricky, you know, when you're riding a lesson horse or a lease horse or a horse that has baggage, because so much of training is about consistency. And so if they get away with being heavy or strong or pulling or rooting half the time, then they're going to try that.
A third of the time. They only have to be successful in any particular behavior a third of the time to have enough encouragement to want to continue in that behavior.
Okay, so a third of the time. But that's what's so hard about training. Which means
that we have to be correct 80% of the time to start to influence them.
Okay. All right,
it's next a lot.
Question. It's a lot. On that happy note, while you're thinking about being correct 80% of the time, next question is from Gemma. Keeping the contact once established, I'm losing contact in transitions.
Yes, that is time and miles. So I rode with Hubert Rohrer, who was one of our judges. He came from the Spanish School of Riding in Vienna. And I was taking a lesson. I would have been 18, 19 years old. And he goes, you know, any monkey can ride the gates, ride the transition. It's very humbling. They're hard. That's the point. The point of that story is transitions are very hard. And so you want to make sure that the horse is around your inside leg, that you feel that contact. And the horse is changing its balance and everything in that transition when it goes from the trot to mm-hmm. the walk, from the walk to the canter. And you have to change with them, yet stay in that perfect position. That's easy, right? Everybody does that easy. And that's why it's difficult, because you're going from 15 to 22 miles an hour. You're going from 22 miles an hour to 3 miles an hour. And you have to do that smoothly and seamlessly and flawlessly. So that's why that's difficult.
Right. It's like,
there's no magic bullet. There's no, if you just did this thing, then you'd get the feel for that.
Right. It's like when you're driving your car, you know, and you accelerate and you go into the back of your chair. And then when you hit the brakes, your seatbelt catches you. So that's like what happens in transitions, but you don't have a seatbelt and you don't have a chair to support you. So your core is really, really important in your transition so that you stay stable and balanced. And so that.
And super flexible so that you could still follow wherever the saddle's going, because it's moving. Because all this is happening in real time while you're moving up and down sideways through space.
Yeah.
At speed.
Yeah. So. Practice.
There is no, I did the right thing. No, it's feel and it takes time.
Yeah. And the thing with transitions is just repetition, you know, ride a transition, see what happens, learn from that, get it back in the gate, and then repeat the transition and repeat it several times until you get it better, and then move on to something else. I started recording some ride along podcasts, which is kind of fun. It's basically, I just ride around and I have my little microphone and I just talk through everything that I'm doing. And that has been really interesting to kind of verbalize what I'm doing. But one thing I do is I ride a lot of transitions. I always focus on rhythm. So like counting the rhythm, that can really help with transitions to help you get in sync with a new rhythm. Whether you're going from walk to trot or trot to canter and the rhythm changes, counting the footfalls can be super helpful. And then, yeah, just practicing them, because when I ride my horses. I ride a lot of transitions. Some of them are good. Some of them are bad. And that's part of developing the connection and the throughness and getting your horse supple and engaged is riding those transitions. So yes, Rennell says riding is hard.
And, you know, last week when you helped me with the test, right? Now, I've ridden quite a few transitions. And I came out of that canter to the trot, and you're like, you know, you're pulling on that. Remember?
Yeah, but it's different when you have to ride it in a test, and you see the letter coming up, and you're like, I have to trot now.
Yeah, but today, when I went through the test, and I came around, and I had to make that transition, I was like, use your legs. And she just went canter trot without that hiccup that I put in her when I pulled on her face the other day.
So moral of the story, it happens to the best of us. We all sometimes just want to pull on the reins to make a transition happen. It doesn't work.
Yeah. One should listen to their wife. That's what I'm thinking.
I don't know if everyone's going
to. No, no one's going to, because I'm like one of one guy that's on here tonight. Yeah.
It was very cute. Someone in the Strides Facebook group posted this poem that was like an ode to horse husbands. And it just went on and on about how grateful we should be to our husbands who like support us, go to the barn in the middle of the night when the horse is sick, drive the horse trailer, go to the horse shows. So we are very grateful for our supportive husbands. So, all right. I think that's it. I leave tomorrow for Colorado. If you're in Colorado, I'm going to be teaching a clinic there Saturday, Sunday, Monday. In Elizabeth. I'm going to be in Elizabeth, Colorado on Saturday and Sunday. And then Monday, I'm going to go to my mom's ranch in Florence. So that will be fun to see her. Don't forget to download the PDF with those 5 exercises to do before the sitting trot, so that you're ready to start with the sitting trot challenge on May 1st. We have a lot of activities and super exciting things happening in the sitting trot challenge. So if you're in Strides, you're automatically enrolled. If you're not in Strides, join the sitting trot challenge and plan a little extra time for riding and learning during the month of May. The days are getting longer.
Yay.
Spring and summer is coming. So yeah, I'm going to be at the clinic this weekend. Herman is showing a horse and helping one of our students at the horse show while I'm gone. So
it should I'm going to be on my own. I'm terrified.
A good weekend. And I hope you all are going to have a good weekend and get some riding in. So we will see you next Thursday evening. And I hope you all have a wonderful night. Good night.
Good night.
So that's it for this week. Thank you so much for all of your awesome questions, and I hope you learned something new from listening. If you're new to the podcast and you'd like a question answered on a future one, get in touch on Facebook through Amelia's Dressage Club, Instagram at Amelia Newcomb Dressage, or YouTube at Amelia Newcomb Dressage, and mark the question for the live sessions. Thanks so much for listening to the podcast. If you like it, please share it, review it, and tune in again next week. Thanks so much and happy riding.